Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Last week, in our sermon series, we learned that the Hebrew word Messiah and its Greek equivalent Christ both mean anointed one. We understand that there are three types of anointed ones: prophets, priests, and kings. Last week, I spoke about the prophetic office of Jesus as the prophet who is like Moses and yet greater than Moses. Today, we peek behind the veil of his priestly office. God established his priesthood in Israel during the Exodus. One of the very first things he did after giving the Ten Commandments was to consecrate Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother, remember. He consecrated Aaron and his sons, and his sons after him, to be priests. Their duties would center around offering various kinds of sin offerings of animals and thank offerings of oil and bread, and later they would do that in the temple. Priests served as the mediators between God and man. They were the link between heaven and earth. And the priesthood belonged only to Aaron and his descendants, only to that family, which was one particular family from one particular tribe of Levi. No other family, no other tribe was supposed to serve as a priest. At various times, kings like Saul and Uzziah would get puffed up and they would try to do some of the things assigned to the priests, and God punished them for it. He took away the kingdom from Saul because of offering the sacrifice. He struck King Uzziah with leprosy for trying to offer the oil on the altar of incense. And so the Lord punished them when they tried to take the office that was reserved for Aaron's family. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, and all the kings of the Davidic dynasty were from the tribe of Judah, and they were not descendants of Aaron. They were not even Levites, Aaron's cousins. And so for somebody to hold both the office of priest and king in Israel was totally forbidden. Totally. This is one of the ways in which the Israelites were supposed to be different than the nations around them. See, in most pagan cultures, priesthood and kingship went together hand in hand. Church and state were united in their rule of the people, and some kings, like the pharaohs of Egypt, exalted themselves as gods. Nebuchadnezzar did that too. Among the Canaanites and other Near Eastern civilizations, the king was often the high priest of the cult for the idol. At least he would carry out some priestly functions, such as offering sacrifices or prayers on particularly high holy days in the worship of that false god. This carried over among the Romans. I mentioned last week, I think I did, that one of the many titles that Caesar took for himself was Pontifex Maximus, which means the greatest priest. But not in Israel. Yahweh told them they were to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And the word holy means different. It means set apart for a special purpose. The Jewish people were not to be like the nations around them. They were to be a light to the Gentiles, not to get sucked into the mud with the Gentiles. And so kingship and priesthood were kept separate. That was God's design. Until the coming of Christ. And all this makes the priesthood of Jesus Christ even more improbable. After all, Jesus was a descendant of David. He was from the tribe of Judah, not from Levi. He was not a descendant of Aaron. He did not belong to a priestly family. And as such, he never should have become a priest in the normal way. And he never could have become a priest in the normal Jewish fashion. Because remember, royalty and priesthood did not go together in Israel. And yet the entire New Testament book of Hebrews is one long meditation on the priesthood of Christ and its impact on us, his people. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so there you have it. Jesus is a priest, and not just any priest. He is our great high priest, our very own Pontifex Maximus. And how can this be? Because Jesus wasn't a Levite. Well, he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as prophesied in Psalm 110 and proclaimed repeatedly in Hebrews. In fact, even though Melchizedek lived in the time of Abraham, he's mentioned more times in the New Testament than he is in the Old Testament. So who or what is Melchizedek? Well, let's have some fun by phrasing that as a Jeopardy question. Alex, I'll take Old Testament heroes for $400. This mystery man was the king of Salem and a priest to whom the Jewish patriarch Abraham paid tithes. Beep, beep, beep. Pastor Chris, who is Melchizedek? Correct. And back to you, PC. Genesis 14 records this brief, bizarre incident in the life of Abraham that we really have no idea what to do with. During a local skirmish between, I mean, it's the one that Chuck's out there somewhere. Chuck Reddit had a lot of funny names. You don't learn about it in Sunday school. Never comes up in the lectionary. So maybe it's the first time in your life you ever heard that story. Well, during a local skirmish between city-states and Canaan, Abraham's nephew Lot was captured and carried off as a POW. And so Abraham rounded up a little band of commandos and went on a rescue mission. And they were successful. And they brought in a lot of booty in addition to Lot. A lot of booty in addition to Lot. And as Abraham journeyed home after the battle, a strange man named Melchizedek came out to meet him. We don't know much about him other than the fact that he was the king of the city known as Salem, later Jerusalem. Salem is Shalom, peace, the city of peace. And he was a priest of God Most High, El Shaddai. So in the land of Canaan, where almost everybody worshipped a false god, Melchizedek worshipped the one true God of heaven and earth. He was a priest and a king, but that was okay because he wasn't Jewish. And besides all that, this is long before God had even established the Aaronic priesthood. I'd be about 400 years later, give or take. So Melchizedek comes out to have dinner with Abraham, a little bread and wine, and then he blessed him. And in return, Abraham gave a tenth of the booty to Melchizedek. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews makes a huge deal about the fact that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7 just goes to town on this. Read it later on. But otherwise, that was the end of it. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, dined with him, disappeared from the historical record. There's no mention of him for another 1,000 years until he pops up in Psalm 110 one time. And then there's no other mention for another 1,000 years until he pops up in the New Testament. So from a certain standpoint, Melchizedek seems like a minor character in the greater story of the patriarch Abraham, formerly known as Abram. And yet Melchizedek was a major deal because it was the manner of his priesthood, not Aaron's, that our Lord Jesus fulfilled and carried. And so, like Melchizedek, Jesus could be king and priest at the same time. It was a different order. It was a different way. Listen to Psalm 110. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what that means for us is that unlike the Aaronic priests who died and passed on their office to their sons and grandsons, Christ's priesthood remains forever. Forever. Because he died, but he rose again. And so now he lives forever. And our high priest, our great high priest, as Hebrews 4 calls him, will never die again. And Jesus does for us the same things that priests did in the ancient world. He offers sacrifice and he intercedes for us. Offers sacrifice and intercedes for us. Because on the altar of the cross, our great high priest offered up himself as the sacrifice. Think about that. He was the priest and the sacrifice. Now your mind is blown. And he did that with his own body and blood. And from the cross, he prayed for us. He interceded for us. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Jesus prayed the prayer, the Father answered it. And we are forgiven. And yet Christ's intercession for us continues even now. Hebrews 7 says that he always lives to make intercession for us. During Advent, we talk about the second coming of Jesus, right? And we look forward to that. We talk about preparing and waiting and all that fun stuff. But sometimes we wonder, what's Jesus doing? He's praying for us. He's praying for you. Romans 8 says he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. Jesus is doing the work of the priest. He offered the sacrifice once for all, and now he prays for us. And so, through the miracle of the incarnation, God and man became one in the flesh of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our great high priest. Jesus is the connection between us and God. Jesus is the link between heaven and earth. And that link never goes down, never loses coverage, because Jesus lives forever. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2. So now, you don't need to go through a priest or a pastor to pray to God or to receive his forgiveness. I'm happy to pray for you. I'm annoyed when you tell me that my prayers are more effective or matter more because of who I am. That's garbage, as we'll talk about in a minute, because Christ has now given the priesthood to all believers. And we all have direct access to God, and I'm no closer to getting my thing answered than you are, because you have a direct line in Jesus. Everything is already yours. You are priests now. Not pastors, but priests. Someday I'll tell you why I don't like the 1970s catch line that every member is a minister. Because while every Christian is a priest, not every Christian is a pastor. And there's a difference, but that's not for tonight. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So think about that. You are called to proclaim his excellencies. To whom? To the ones that don't know him yet. So we become the link between Jesus and the unbeliever. Jesus is our link between heaven and earth, between us and God. We become the link between Jesus and the Gentiles, the pagans that don't know him yet. That's really cool. don't offer any sacrifice other than our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, as we read in Romans 12, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We don't offer dead sacrifices anymore. And by the way, I wasn't originally going to mention this, but because I'm sick, I'm kind of grumpy, and so. But the Catholic Church, priests really are priests, because in their abominable theology, sorry, I'm grumpy, they actually teach that they sacrifice anew every Sunday the body of Jesus when they celebrate the Mass. And that is garbage, because Jesus died once for all. And ain't no priest, ain't no pastor gonna sacrifice Jesus again. Anyways, now I got it out of my system. The priesthood of all believers is one of the hallmarks of Lutheran theology. Every Christian is a priest with full access to God's throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Hebrews 9, Christ entered once for all, one time. That's what once means. Rome needs to listen to that. Christ entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Therefore, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. For when we draw near to Jesus, he draws near to us, and he gives us grace. And that is why we need the priesthood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We gather our tithes and offerings to the Lord, and if you can fill out the attendance card, we would appreciate that.